the basis of the Pope's call is really rooted in a witness that we have from the Scriptures. The Scriptures repeatedly in both the Old and the New Testaments present to us the power of fasting when accompanied by prayer. So we see examples where King David is, when the child that he had by the wife of Uriah is sick, he fasts along with his prayer. We're reminded in Tobit, where it tells us that prayer is good when accompanied by fasting, almsgiving, and righteousness. And we're reminded that, for instance, the prophetess Anna, when she's awaiting at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke for the coming of the Messiah, it said that for her whole life after the death of her husband, she was praying and fasting in the temple. And, of course, Christ himself, before he began his public ministry, had his 40-day fast wilderness. So partly it's about the scriptural witness that reminds us that fasting has a particular value in a focus of prayer that we have to God, so the witness of the patriarchs, the witness of the prophets, and the witness, of course, of the saints' New Testament, as well as Christ himself. I think that St. Thomas helps us a little in understanding what he thinks fasting is for. What he tells us is that he thinks that fasting does three sorts of things. On the one hand, he says that, in his language, he says it bridles the lusts of the flesh. In other words, it restrains that part of us that just wants to get a kind of immediacy of things, the way food or desire for food is a kind of immediate thing. Fasting is a way of holding that back, of focusing us elsewhere. Second, he says it's an especially good way to direct the mind to the contemplation of heavenly things. His idea here is that not, of course, that eating is bad, but that food can be attention-grabbing. We can find that because it's so basic to human living, to be able to survive simply as human beings, that the pursuit of food and the pleasures that come from eating have a way of sort of demanding priority, and the pleasures of heaven might be greater in their very nature, but they can be more easily lost, the things of the world. So fasting is a way to keep us focused on the things of heaven. And third, he says that it can be a way of satisfying for sins, a form of penance, in other words. And I think what Thomas doesn't want us to see here, St. Thomas, nor to the Scriptures or the Church's tradition, it's not that somehow that God is impressed by the fact that we're hungry, but rather that our hunger that we have while we're fasting is a reminder of our own limited nature, a way to produce humility precisely by reminding us that we are not in charge of even this most basic part of human life and that we rely upon God. And that's why it opens us up in humility to pray for God's intervention in our life, because it gets something that's so basic, being human, that is eating, being our animal nature needs. But it takes that and it says, not that we produce in ourselves a kind of body-crushing hunger, but we produce that reminder that we come from God, that we rely upon God, and that there are certain things that we desire in life, in this case, the prayer for peace, that it's beyond ordinary human potential to break through these hardened hearts and to soften them so that they can be open to God's grace. And our fasting accompanies our prayer in just that way for our own selves, that we can be open to how God is moving us, prompting us by the power of the Spirit of Christ to respond to how he wishes by his grace bring peace at troubled part of the world.
So it's not an impractical pie in the sky kind of initiative. It's really something that's meant to put into the hands of God, a request that would not be achievable maybe by human means.
That's right. That's right. I think the mistake would be to see the call for prayer and fasting as a kind of throwing up of one's hands and saying, well, there's nothing we can do, so let's just do these pious sounding things and hope God comes to the rescue. We, of course, are calling upon divine intervention, but what we're also looking for is that God would transform our hearts and our minds, and it's precisely prayer and fasting that will silence those parts of us that want to react immediately, that want to have just the immediate response to something that crosses our mind, but rather has us think about what is God asking us to do? What does the gospel demand of us here? And to do that, we need to contemplate the things of heaven. To do that, we need to be not distracted by our basic daily needs, and we need to not be blinded by our sins. And the witness of the scriptures is that fasting accompanying prayer is especially good at clarifying both our minds and our hearts to respond to God's grace. And so that's why it's in some ways an eminently practical, although supernatural, way of opening ourselves to how God wants us to respond to the troubles of the world, and especially troubles in.
And so, Father, for many people, maybe fasting is not a regular occurrence. For, you know, if someone wants to take part in the Pope's initiative and join in the day of prayer and fasting that Pope Francis has called for, what does that look like for someone in America, for instance, or, you know, other parts of the world? What can they do to take part in the day of prayer and fasting?
Right. One of the things that the Church has always been is reasonable about its requests of fasting. It recognizes that people are at different places morally, different places in their practice of the faith. And so, again, it's not asking for people to do something that's beyond their means. My main suggestion, I think this is what the Church is suggesting, is that the fasting should be in line with the spiritual development that one is at. So for most of the faithful, let's say the Catholic faithful who are going to be responding to the Pope's call, I would certainly suggest, for my part, the same kind of laws of fasting that the Church asks of faithful on Ash Wednesday or Good Friday. Same basic principle of only one main meal, and then maybe enough two smaller meals if necessary to make it through the day. Enough to notice that one is doing with less, enough to notice a certain level of hunger, so that one, when one feels that hunger, one can direct that hunger to both one's own sanctification and to direct us to pray for the needs of the world. The Church isn't asking that everyone go without any food or no food or water or anything like that for the whole day. There may be people who are more accustomed to the practice of fasting as a spiritual discipline, who would find that perhaps that's how they wish to engage the Pope's call, and that would certainly be a laudable and praiseworthy thing for them to do. But for the faithful in general, it's the model of fasting we should use is the kind of fasting that the Church generally asks of her faithful, and that in the Church's discipline usually means only one full meal in that day, and then, if necessary, perhaps one or two other small meals to keep going through the day so one doesn't, say, grow faint. Or if you're a laborer, obviously you might need to eat a little more to do your work during the day than if you're an office worker or someone who works at home.
And finally, Father, you've mentioned that this is a very practical call, but also a supernatural call. What can we hope or expect or pray for as a result of this day of fasting that the Pope has called for?
Well, certainly the one thing that should always come from fasting and prayer is the transformation of our own hearts. And this is part of, you know, when Isaiah reminds us of the prophet, when he says the fasting, when he's speaking for God, of course. He says, "Is this not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the thongs of the yoke and let the oppressed go free?" So that part of it is our prayer and our fasting hasn't done us any good if we haven't grown in charity. So the first practical result is that we are redirected to God, those of us who are doing the fasting. But we also have the witness of the book of the prophet Jonah, of the spectacular transformation that happens when the people of Nineveh respond to the call by Jonah to repent, and they repent in ashes and sackcloth, and they fast. And as a result, the disaster that seemed to be on the horizon immediately by God's hand is by God's own decision, it passes by, but survive. So I think we are called upon in faith and hope to pray fervently directly for a transformation of the hearts of the people are poised to make decisions, whether that's the president of Syria, whether it's the armed forces of the rebels or the army in Syria, but as well of the leaders of the West that are contemplating the use of violent force to intervene. That we can, while we can never presume upon how God will respond to our prayers, we have a right to hope that what we ask for in his name, in fervent prayer, will be responded to. So I think the immediate practical desire is our transformation, our liberation from any sinful desires as surrounds this issue, and a greater clarity. But I think we can also and ought to have real hope that God will move the hearts of the people involved, be open to his call for peace.
And so an initiative like this really is an initiative based on a deep faith on the part of the Pope, certainly, and those who participate, a deep faith that God is involved in the world and will respond to this kind of initiative on the part of his people.
That's right. We've heard repeated promises to the prophets and, of course, through Christ himself, that God does listen and heed our prayers. And so when the Pope calls upon us to pray, he wants us to take very seriously the promises that Christ has made and to know that God is in the world, and that even for people who are experiencing the darkness of the violence of Syria, to know that God is with them and that God does have them in his watchful care. And he's asking those of us who live in a world perhaps free from that kind of violence to pray all the more, so that through the instrument of our praying, he will work the graces promised.